We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Here's what the Word of God says. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed as one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to imagine that there isn't a time or many times in our lives where we have worried or doubted or struggled with the anxieties of life. So I think what we're reading is very applicable to each and every one of us. But Lord, you offer us a different view of how life can and should work. So Lord, I pray today as we hear your word that we would be open to what you have to say and what you want to speak into our lives so that we could pursue not things that are fleeting, but things that last for eternity. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, over the last few weeks, Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount has been dealing with both the religious leaders' misunderstanding of the Old Testament and also these ideas and these traditions that had come up through the years. And he had been systematically working his way through that, looking at their teachings on the Old Testament, like their teaching on murder and adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for an eye, and loving your neighbor, and bringing them into question, saying, listen, this is not what God had intended. Sorry, I'm going to have to lose this. This is falling off my ear. So we're going to be tethered. And then after that, he looked at the false traditions that had arisen from the religious leaders, like giving to those in need, prayer, fasting, and even their view on money. And as you get to this passage here in Matthew, at verse 25, he starts with this. He says, "Therefore I tell you." Now, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, this is important. Because a therefore tells you it's time to start summarizing some things. So what is this therefore looking back at? Well, if you remember last week, we were looking at storing up treasures in heaven. The religious leaders were very good. They thought, well, if I'm where God wants me to be, God is going to materially bless me. So as a result, the religious leaders spent a lot of time accumulating wealth for this because they saw that wealth, or they assumed that wealth meant righteousness. And Jesus says, well, you're storing up treasures here on earth where God wants you to set up treasures in heaven. The therefore he's talking about in verse 25 is this idea, because he ends with this idea of seek first the kingdom of God. That's today. He starts with this idea that you are storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the therefore is looking back at that idea. Therefore, if you are a person who is storing up treasures in heaven as opposed to storing up treasures on earth, this is how you begin to live. If your focus is not on earthly things, but on heavenly things, should we be worrying and spending a great deal of time on life concerned about our earthly holdings? No. And this is where this idea of what Jesus is talking about, where he's getting our attention off our earthly things and talking to people who are storing up treasure in heaven. So if you are trying to, or you are endeavoring to do things of eternal value as opposed to temporal earthly things, this is for you. If you've ever struggled with worry, anxiety, this is for you. And what Jesus is doing is helping us understand, how do we apply these things to our lives and what do they mean? Well, Jesus talks about two things in particular in these passages. He talks about, and the first one we'll look at is, what should we not be concerned about? Jesus talks about being concerned and being unconcerned about things if we are building up treasures in heaven. The first is what we should not be concerned about, and that's found in verses 25 to 32. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? He says, don't worry about these earthly things because we're not storing up treasure on earth. We're storing up treasure in. So if you're storing up treasure in heaven, does Jesus want you worrying about the things of this world? No, because that's not where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, we saw last week, is where your heart is, right? So if my heart is here, should I really be concerned about the stuff over here? No. So Jesus says, listen, don't worry about that stuff. That's not what I want you to be worried about. Don't worry about it, okay, people? Don't. How many times in life has someone come up and told you, hey, don't worry about it? It's good. Does that work? Let's be honest. Like, does that really work? Thanks. That's a nice thought. Thanks, Pastor. Thanks for telling me not to worry about it. That will definitely work for the next 5 seconds. Okay. What was that? So it kind of rings a little strange when Jesus tells us not to worry about it. But Jesus doesn't just tell us not to worry. The difference is Jesus gives us real reasons. He doesn't just say, don't worry about it, move along. He gives us real reasons why children of God should not worry. And that brings us to the first part. What is the trouble with worry? Well, Jesus explains this right in verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add an hour to your life? No, the answer is, it's a rhetorical question that Jesus is asking, but the answer is clearly no. Does worry add anything of value to our lives? Does it, legitimately, what does it accomplish for us? Does it accomplish anything positive? No, not at all. And this is Jesus's point. Worrying about the things of life has no real value at any level. If anything, the Bible tells us that it is a net negative in our lives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. What does worry do? It weighs us down, doesn't it? It slows us down in life. I read that 75% of Americans would call themselves worriers. And the Bible says, listen, this slows us down in life. This keeps us from the places that we want to go and the things that we want to do in life. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry weighs us down. According to this passage, worry steals peace from us, doesn't it? That's what it says. Don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, present your requests to God. And the peace of God covers our heart. Well, when we're worrying about things, what are we not receiving? The peace of God. Yeah, absolutely. And the Bible describes this as a peace that passes understanding. Why do we worry? Because the ultimate thing is we don't know what's going to happen. So what do? We play out all these different scenarios in our head. Well, what if it goes this way? And what if they say this? And what if this happens? And what if they? And we do this over and over and over and over again. And that's, you know, we started by saying so much of what we worry about never comes to pass because we come up with, you know, 20 scenarios, and sometimes not one of them actually comes true. You end up having the conversation, and the person's like, oh yeah, okay. No problem. And you just spent 2 days worrying about it. It steals our peace. And God desires us to have peace that passes understanding. Because let's be honest, we don't naturally have peace as people, do we? No one has to ever teach us how to worry, right? Like, I didn't sit down with my kids and like, let me teach you the proper way to worry, right? Like, when you're really, you got to get yourself really worked up. I mean, to the point where you're having trouble sleeping, that's when you got some good worry going on. That's what you want to shoot for. No, what we really want is that peace, right? We want to be able to go through life and live what we believe, right? Do we believe that God is in control? Do we believe that he's got all this? That no matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter what is going on in the life within us, that God ultimately is in control. So why do we worry? Because that worry has stolen the peace that God desperately wants to give us. Mark chapter 4, verse 9 says this, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things comes in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful." Worry chokes out God's truth in our lives. We just said, in our heart of hearts, we believe that God is in control. We believe that God is working all things for the good of those called according to his purpose. We believe these things, but worry and the worry about the things of this world, not even where we're putting our treasure, because we're not putting our treasure here. We're putting our treasure in heaven, but we worry about these things here on earth. And what does it do? It chokes out the word of God in our lives. The things we know and want to believe are true because we worry about things that aren't even where we want to be in life. It steals what God's truth in our lives. Jesus understands that worry and anxiety destroys our relationships. And in many cases, it destroys our lives if it's allowed to go unchecked. Well, Jesus doesn't just tell us what worry does, why we shouldn't worry, but he gives us real reasons not to worry. He doesn't just tell us, hey, don't worry because it's going to mess up your life. He says, here's the reasons that you shouldn't worry. In other words, why do you have reasons for peace and for hope and to trust the word of God? Well, this is found in verses 26, 28, and 30. And look what it says. Verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they?" Verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed as one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Can I ask you a real question? Are you valuable to God? Do you really believe that? Are you valuable to God? Why are you valuable to God? How do you know that you are valuable to God? Yeah, I mean, send us up. We're going to celebrate communion here in a few minutes. And we are remembering that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. We are valuable to God, and God demonstrated that for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still in rebellion with him, Christ died for us. So you are valuable to God. Jesus says, listen, does God take care of birds? Yes. Does he take care of flowers? None of these things are beyond God's sphere of influence or what he takes care of. And if God takes care of birds, and if God takes care of flowers, and you are more valuable to God than those things, is God working in your lives? Yes. I mean, we can do the mental math problem. And that's really what Jesus is giving here. He says, listen, God takes care of things that he cares about less than you. So if he loves you more, wouldn't that then mean he's taking care of you even more? Yes. Then the question is, why do we worry? If this is all true, and we know this to be true, and we're not just reciting it because Pastor George is standing up here making us recite it, if we genuinely believe this, why do we worry? Well, the Bible says that in case we forgot, God doesn't just choose to provide for us. He loves to provide for us. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, Jesus, in this particular passage in Matthew, was talking about the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear. Is that the full scope of how God provides for us? No, not by any means. I mean, how many hundreds and thousands of things that we do not need has God provided for us? I mean, listen, he's just talking about the absolute necessities. He's like, I got that. Oh, by the way, your houses and homes are probably filled with things that you do not need, but that God has blessed you with anyway. And going back to necessities, even if God had given us none of those things and had just sent his son to save our souls and said, you're all alone for the rest, that would be more than we deserved, right? The reality is the abundance of his blessing, that he meets all of our needs, not some of our needs, not enough needs, but he cares for us inside and out, should give us reason not to worry. In the book of Malachi, the prophet is speaking to the Israelites when he says this. He says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." God says, go ahead. He says this to the Israelites. He says, you want to try and outgive me? Bring it on. Bring in your tithe. Fill it up. And then watch what I do. Because you can't outgive me. You can't outbless me. I will provide for you guys like you have never seen. That's an incredible, incredible passage. Romans 8:32 says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If God would not hold back his own beloved son for us, is he suddenly going to get stingy with other stuff? He's suddenly going to forget about you? He's suddenly going to leave you alone with this difficult situation or this tough relationship or whatever it is that you're worrying about right now? God's going to suddenly be like, well, you know what? I already saved him. No. The point is, God is abundant in his blessing. When we were looking at the book of Ephesians, he says he lavishes his blessing on us. Not just enough, but in abundance. We see this over and over again. The Bible reminds us that God is in control and he desires to take care of us. So we've seen why we shouldn't worry, because it really benefits us in no way. Why we should put worry aside, because God is with us. God knows our needs better than we do. A family was awakened by their smoke detectors in the middle of the night to discover that their house was on fire. The father ran into the upstairs bedroom of his children and carried an 18-month-old baby in his arms while dragging his 4-year-old son by the hand. They were halfway down the stairs when the little boy remembered that he had left his teddy bear in the bedroom. So he broke free from his father's hand and ran back into the bedroom to retrieve it. In the furor and confusion, the father didn't notice that his son wasn't with him until he got outside. By now, the little boy was trapped by the flames, and the smoke was in his second-story bedroom window. The smoke swirled around him, and he coughed, and he cried out from his upstairs window, "Daddy, Daddy, help me!" The father yelled from below, "Jump out the window. I'll catch you." In the darkness and smoke, the little boy yelled back, "But Daddy, I can't see you." His dad yelled back, "It's okay, son. I can see you. Jump." Sometimes we forget in the midst of our worry, in the midst of the things that are bringing anxiety in our lives, we forget that God sees the whole thing. And he wants us to jump to him, not to worry, not to be filled with anxiety, terror. That's not what our lives are meant to be about. He's there. He sees how it all ends. He promises to work for the good of those called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean that life isn't difficult. Doesn't mean that there isn't hurt and struggle at times. What it means is that the Father is at the bottom. And he says, jump. I know exactly where you are. And I'm right here. Don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't be filled with fear. Because no matter what, I'm here. I'm with you. Well, we talked about what we shouldn't be concerned about, which is all the stuff here. What should we be concerned about then? Well, look at verses 33 and 34, because Jesus tells us what we should concern ourselves with. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, if we're not worrying about the things of this world, if we're not stressed out about this, let's just pretend for a minute that we can accomplish this or have some momentary victories in this area. If we're not spending our life worrying about the details of life, what are we spending our life on? Well, Jesus tells us, he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. Which brings up the question, as followers of Jesus Christ, what matters most? If we're not wasting our lives worrying about a whole bunch of things, most of which will never happen. I mean, think about this. If you were free from all the time you spent worrying and being stressed and being filled with anxiety, if that was no longer a part of your life anymore, and all that time and emotional energy and all that stuff was now free and you had it in like a block in your hand and you could spend it where you want, where would you spend it? Well, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't spend your time on this. Spend your time on this. You're storing up treasures in heaven? Well, invest your life, invest your emotion, invest your energy into the kingdom of God. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What matters most? This, the gospel, the kingdom of God. This is what a person who is storing up treasure in heaven, who's not worried about the things of this life, but is worried about things of eternal value. This is where they invest their time, their energy, their emotions, their love, and their life. We're entering the Christmas season. And one of the things that becomes abundantly clear as you read the Christmas story and as you read the results of the Christmas story is that God spared nothing that first Christmas, right? He didn't go to the wholesale rack to get our gift, did he? He didn't find a special code that got him 40% off on the gift that he gave us that first Christmas. God gave us his very best, his son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says this, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. According to this passage, what is of first importance to us as believers in Jesus Christ? It's the gospel, isn't it? This is what I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. So for us who are not storing up treasures on earth, but we're storing up treasures in heaven, who are desiring to seek first the kingdom of God, not be wrapped up in the worries and cares of this world, what matters most? Where do we invest all this energy that we're free from worry, we're free from anxiety? What do we do with it all? We put it here, into sharing the good news of the kingdom of God with the people that God has brought in our life. Well, what is the good news? Why do we put up wreaths with lights? Why do we have trees? Why do we sing songs? What is this good news? What is this joy that we have? Well, it's this. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, because of the sin in our lives, deserves to be separated from God. Well, you say, well, Pastor George, that doesn't sound like good news. Well, it's not. Because every one of us find ourselves separated from the God who loves us. And the Bible tells us that the wages of that sin that each and every one of us have committed in our lives is death. You say, well, that doesn't seem like something that you would put up lights for. That doesn't seem like something we would sing songs about at all. But while the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The most beautiful thing about this is that God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us grace instead. He gives us the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. What do we fill our lives with? The reality of that truth for us and sharing that truth with others. Why do we celebrate with hymns and trees and gifts? Why? Because we have something to celebrate. That God did not give us what we deserved. He gave us mercy and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. That despite our faults, our failings, our missteps, we can have eternal life. And so can anyone else who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom. Share this. Jesus says, all that other stuff, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, people. I will take care of the details. You take care of taking this incredible message, this incredible truth that none of us deserve, but all of us can have, and share it with the world. I'll take care of the details. You get busy sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. There was a college student who was struggling in many areas of his life. He spent a great deal of time angry and frustrated. When he could stand it no longer, he went into a dim, seldom used chapel on his campus. He paced up and down the aisles, slapping the back of the empty pews. He yelled and cried and he raged at God. God, you created the world. What could you possibly have been thinking? Look at the problems that people face. Look at the pain, the suffering, the hunger. Look at the neglect, the waste, the abuse. Everywhere I look, I see messed up people, hurting people, lonely people. The young man ranted and raved and on he went. Finally, exhausted, he sat in the front pew and looked hopelessly at the cross. Its tarnished surface reflected the dusty sunlight flittering through the stained glass windows. It's all such a mess. This world you created is nothing but a terrible mess. Why, even I could have made a world better than this one. And then the young man heard a voice in the silence of that dusty chapel that made his eyes open wide and his jaw dropped. That's exactly what I want you to do. God wants us not to be worried about the things of this world so we can change the world that we're in. It's hard, isn't it, to change a world that you're stuck in the molasses of. We are free from the worries, the concerns of this world. Why? Because our treasure isn't here on earth. Our treasure is in heaven. God says, I got all that stuff. I'll be there. I'll walk you through it. I want you to take the kingdom of God to the world. I want you to make this world better. To share the kingdom of God with anyone and everyone who will listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you give us the opportunity not to be concerned about the things of this world. And we don't always take that opportunity, and we lapse into worry and anxiety. But we don't have to. We do, but we don't have to. We can be concerned about more valuable and eternal things than what we will eat and what we will wear and how we'll pay for this and that. Lord, help us to choose better. Not to worry, but to get busy doing the things that matter most in life. Forgive us when we fail. Forgive us when we doubt. We know that you're in control. We know that you can do this. Help our unbelief. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can worship you today. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.